Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. Welcome to WPR Rebuttal, covering the sides of the story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio, bringing you narratives UW System Board Regents won't allow, shedding light on perspectives the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I'm your host, Senator JPO. We have a very special episode today on May 12, 2017, and that is a live reading of the Joseph Oehler op-ed, A Tale of Two Epidemics, False Alarm Over Opioids versus Downplayed College Grad Employment Realities. Now, Mr. Oehler has been presenting his letter to the editor to various regional newspapers in and around Wisconsin. Fortunately, due to the tendentious views taken, those traditional news outlets have been reluctant to publish this op-ed. But today, dear readers and listeners, you will hear a live reading by yours truly of this letter to the editor, unredacted in its entire context. Well, without further ado, here we go. And I have to search down through the redacted edition because I sent, I had to trim it down, but I had a full-length one. So this is the full-length one, not trimmed down at all. This is just the whole one, which is about in the neighborhood of 1,000 words. Okay, so here we are. I had sent the redacted version, the 200-word version, to many different newspapers. And, Joel Oehler sent to WPR Rebuttal his 1,000-word version. And again, this is A Tale of Two Epidemics. False Alarm Over Opioids, the fake epidemic, versus Downplayed College Grad Employment Realities, the true epidemic. Okay. So, the Wisconsin legislature patted itself on its collective backside for passing a series of measures known as the HOPE Agenda that make it more difficult for patients in legitimate pain to acquire prescription painkillers. As will be shown statistically by rankings compiled from Wisconsin Health Department mortality data, it is an overkill measure against a fake epidemic in order to make a dramatic statement. And this brings a high human cost of needless suffering from those suffering from subtherapeutic pain treatment. In other words, because of this whole moral panic over the prescription opioids, which, by the way, are much safer than street heroin. That's why they're sold as medication instead of banned entirely. But the fact that these politicians are browbeating the physicians into withholding this much-needed pain medication, I mean, that's just awful. They're not letting the doctors do their job. But continuing to this op-ed, how severe is our so-called prescription opioid epidemic? Well, that's where mortality data comes into play. Deaths from prescription painkillers are only the 16th most lethal phenomenon in Wisconsin. Let me repeat that. It's not even in the top 15 causes of death. It's only number 16 in terms of lethality and propensity for people to die from it. And I'm citing official WISDISH, or Wisconsin Department of Health Services, the DHS mortality statistics. That's where I'm getting this from. Now, by comparison, homicide is 15th. Most lethal, heroin is 14th. Deaths from all prescription drugs are in 13th place. So you have to remember, this includes antidepressants, blood thinners, and all the other drugs besides the opioids. I mean, they are in 13th place. And if you just consider opioids themselves, well, they're only in 16th place. And this means that benzodiazepines, which are antidepressants, and a whole lot of our prescription drugs, not even including alcohol or tobacco or anything like that. Not street drugs either, but just the prescription drugs that aren't opioids. Well, they are more lethal than opioids, prescription painkillers themselves. Okay, and 12th place is Parkinson's disease. You don't hear too much about Parkinson's being an epidemic, but yeah, it's more lethal than prescription painkillers. Statistically speaking, we have more people dying in Wisconsin from Parkinson's than we do overdosing on prescription pain pills. And if any readers wish to agree with me, or if they wish to contest my findings, they're welcome to call in at 929-477-3965. Okay, so moving on to the next part of the op-ed. I haven't seen or heard accidents or Alzheimer's disease being referred to as epidemics, but the fact is they are more frequently lethal than prescription painkillers. It's true, because according to these health department statistics, Alzheimer's disease is in fifth place. The fifth most common cause of death in Wisconsin is Alzheimer's. Third most common cause of death is unintentional injuries. Wow, so people survive those injuries and they're in great pain and they need prescription painkillers, but most of them now can't even get those painkillers because this whole narrative, this fake moral panic over the prescription painkillers. Oh, by the way, you can blame John Nygren for the part of the moral panic because his daughter, Cassandra, has some issues, and because of that, you know, he made it into a personal issue. And he's making it hard for the rest of the Wisconsinites by making it harder to get their pain pills. Okay, so I have to find my place here in this op-ed. It's a long one. Okay, so if you want a complete list of mortality by cause, you can just Google 16 leading causes of death in Wisconsin. Google that phrase, 16 leading causes of death in Wisconsin. You'll see the 15 causes of death that are more common than prescription painkillers. So how can a malady or a condition that isn't even in the top 15 cause of death even be called an epidemic? Well, it's a scam and a sham, perpetuated by the politicians and their forcing the health department to play along. Now, our lawmakers, in the meantime, stripped away one of Governor Walker's best ideas to date, and that's a non-fiscal policy directive that would require the University of Wisconsin system to provide every interested student with at least one internship or work experience directly relevant to his or her field of study. Being a non-fiscal policy, that mandate would not cost the taxpayers a dime. The same level of public staffing would suffice because the various program associates and other UW bureaucrats would simply reallocate some of their time from our projects that are already sunsetting. Things that come to mind that are being phased out are STAR deployment and various process reengineering. So, in other words, simply reprioritizing from this business technology rollout that they just finished not too recently, and not too long ago, rather. And they can just help the students get more internships. They can be meeting with community leaders or, more importantly, C-level executives of local organizations and just saying, hey, we need this many internships so that our students can graduate on time. How can you help us? Easy solution. But unfortunately, UW lobbyists are lobbying our legislators to try to kill that policy directive. But I'm confident it'll get back in. It'll be reintroduced to the budget bill via a rider. I'm pretty confident about that. So, at any rate, mandatory work or internship for graduation measure will logically save the public quite a chunk of change because they'll reduce our frictional unemployment, they'll lower our structural unemployment, and it'll help people just get into their full level of potential much more quickly. So we have less underemployment, and we help people get off and stay off the public dole, so to speak. And, I mean, there's definitely a need for it, too, because various branches of the Federal Reserve have estimated that between 40 and 50% of college grads, just 24 and younger, are employed in work that does not utilize even an associate's degree. So that's really key. If you're considering a bachelor's, you might just want to stop at maybe an associate's, because from there on out, the difference in wage kind of tapers off, and especially the difference in unemployment rate is marginal. It's pretty much you get a trivial benefit, and that benefit is going down. So pretty much you're taking an unnecessary risk if you go for a four-year degree, when really you could just get by with the two-year degree and not relocate. And if you want to, like, travel and meet other young people, like, and just try to live the college experience, well, you don't need college to do that. You can just do that when you're on vacation from a regular job. So just take care of the your early career first, and then don't worry about the four-year degree until you're in a position where it would tend to matter, because right now you don't even know if it's going to come into play. So why spend the money on it? Now, finishing up here. Okay, so if we don't get the internship requirement put into effect here, and if the UW system just keeps on letting a lot more students get into their programs and they have spots for relevant work experience, well, you know who these recent grads are going to end up competing with, and that's the teenagers. And the teenagers already have a 15% unemployment rate. And that's pretty bad, because that means that a lot of people ages 16 to 20 are looking for work, but unfortunately, not getting the job offer. So at 15% unemployment rate for teenagers, and then you have on top of that the recent graduates competing for fallback jobs with those, and that's why it's even more important for a wide swath of people that you have the UW system be obliged to go and set up these students with the good, valuable work experience that can track into these higher-paying positions that would utilize like knowledge economy skills, critical thinking, and all that other good stuff that colleges try to sell themselves as being about. So, at any rate, that's pretty much the extent of the letter, and it's just in our anecdote here. I've seen four-year degree holders end up as junior plant workers because they were full-time students, while others their age were also getting full-time work. Just instead of going to school, they immediately went and took these low-level jobs, pretty much in light industry for the most part. Now, in light industry, the longer you're in it, then you pretty much automatically get a raise for every year that you stay with it. So they're doing it full-time. They're accruing higher wages so that by the time their so-called college-bound peers get out of school, then the ones who never went to school after high school, they never went to college, no post-secondary schooling at all, but they're earning higher wages, like approaching $18 an hour in a lot of cases. Whereas these people who just have their bachelor's now, well, they're competing for jobs that barely pay $10, such as at Walmart, because, you know, when they're just out of the high school, well, they're doing a college thing, and that set them back wage-wise. So that's a great illustration as to why the four-year degree is not really worth it until UW system is subjected to this non-fiscal directive to go and shepherd their students into the work experiences, into the internships that have meaning and value and aren't just, well, you figure out what to do and how to make it seem like it's valuable, because that's not really an internship. That's just pretty much a study hall session that you try to pass off as an internship, but it doesn't really help you in real life. So, again, that is the whole gist of this measure, and that's why it's badly needed. So at any rate, that's all for now, and thanks for listening to the concerns, and you can bet that this will be mentioned again when the Wisconsin legislature resumes. in mid-August. So till then, take care.